a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Time, where we're changing the world. Wait for it, one Om at a time. Now, if you have been keeping up on the post at My Dr. Kevin or on the Dr. Kevin Show, either one, or you tuned in last week, you know that we were hit by the dreaded Mercury retrograde virus. And the dreaded Mercury retrograde virus flipped Lori and Matt for such a loop that Lori showed up on week one and Matt is here on week two and our heads are still spinning. So if you thought you were tuning in for Thoughtful Thursday, well, after today's show, you can go and go to the archives and you can hear Thoughtful Thursday because Thoughtful Thursday was yesterday's, not Thursday's thought. And if you're here to hear Matt Connerton Unleashed, then you're at the right place at the right time. Matt, welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Kevin. By the way, it's interesting that you mentioned spinning heads, because just yesterday on my program, John Hopwood and I were discussing The Exorcist.
Oh, yeah. I forget that they did a movie on John's life.
Oh, no, that's Exorcist 2.
Oh.
That was the sequel. Yeah.
I thought it was Exercise More. Anyways.
No, that's an old Jane Fonda VHS, which I still have. But, yeah. Well, you know, the guy who played the priest passed away recently. Max, how do you say his name? Anyway, that guy.
The young Italian priest.
Max von Sydow, yes.
Okay. Oh, yes. That one. Okay, yeah. I was thinking of the Carl Malden priest. There was a Carl Malden priest in that one, yeah. As well, I think. Anyways, so lots of stuff going on. I don't think we'll have a shortage of things to talk about in today's show, but who knows? And if we do, or if this conversation gets lively and interesting enough to engage you to the point of committing the action, the number is 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. And that action would be calling in and sharing your opinion, commenting, asking questions, and being part of the conversation. Because that's how we make change in the world. We don't do it by sitting in our armchair, yelling at the computer, yelling at the TV, yelling at our iPad. We don't do it by complaining at the local bar to all the people about how horrible everything is. Nope. You got to show up. You got to be heard. You got to speak out. You got to take action. And you got to vote. So, Matt, tell us what's been new and exciting on the Matt Connerton Unleashed show.
Well, Dr. Kevin, I am proud to tell you I am now officially an award-winning host.
What award did you win?
Well, so there's this gentleman named Chris James. He's a comedian from Vancouver, and he hosts a show that you can find on YouTube that I'm often featured in called Not Even a Show. And he calls these different shows, and he harasses them. He does prank calls and whatnot. And he called me today, live on the air, to inform me that I've won an award in the Not Even a Show Awards, and I've won the award of Nicest Host. So I am officially the nicest host.
Oh my!
Yes.
Yeah, I would never win that award.
Well, I don't know. if you work hard enough, you can get it too. Thank you, Dr. Kevin. Thank you. I'm very excited.
And it couldn't have happened to a nicer, not really a show host.
Yes. Thank you.
So, anyways, moving right along from that, I think that's great. That's fabulous. Certainly, I think that the next thing you should do is win a, what is it, an Odie? Is there an Odie or something is it an Odie or maybe it's an Innie? I'm not sure. I don't know.
I have an Innie. I object to Odies. I think they should be surgically repaired.
Now, there's some kind of funky internet. You're not internet radio anymore. There's an award that's given to radio show hosts that I think are like podcasters and internet, but you're not internet. I'm live, but I'm an internet radio show. I'm not on the airwaves. I'm on the internet airwaves. So anyway, but there's some funky name of an award you can win for being a host on one of those.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember what it is. It has some weird name. It always makes me. It made me always think of Opie from Andy Griffith. Yeah. So, moving right along.
Yes.
Let's talk about. We have not talked since Super Tuesday. This has drastically so. I would love to hear feedback about, and you've had a couple of political experts on your show, I've seen, political commentators or whatever, or commenters or people who can't get a job doing anything else.
Sure.
On your show. And so I would like the Matt Connerton and the wisdom of some Super Tuesday Matt view of the world of, what's going on with the elections? What's going on with the Democrats? What do you think? And will Bernie's followers, if he doesn't get the nomination, really reelect Trump? Not Trump. Trump supporters, that's a different story. But Bernie supporters could reelect Trump just because they're – anyways, go ahead.
Well, I mean, there's the risk that Bernie supporters are going to stay home, some of them did in 2016. But I will say I was very wrong. I honestly thought that Bernie was going to be the nominee. That was my prediction. After Biden performed so poorly in Iowa and then New Hampshire and then Nevada. The guy, referring to Biden, of course, I mean, he is Lazarus. I mean, I don't think we've ever seen a political comeback on this scale before. I mean, you know, for him to come back and crush Bernie in South Carolina, I mean, he really owes it all to Jim Clyburn, you know, because the way Clyburn endorsed Biden in South Carolina, the way it was done, the timing of it, it was perfect. It could not have been done any better. And then, of course, Biden crushed Bernie in South Carolina, which, you know, leads to donors suddenly feeling more confident in their candidate again and opening up their pocketbooks and getting behind him. And then Biden went on to, really do extremely well on Super Tuesday. And then, you know, we had Mini Tuesday or Big Tuesday, as I think NPR was calling it, with Michigan kind of being the main event in that one, and Biden again, pretty much finishing Bernie off, in my view. I mean, they're still going to debate, but it's really incredible. I think it's a mistake. I don't think Biden should be the nominee. But it's just a remarkable, I mean, we've never seen anything like this in terms of a comeback, you know?
So I'm going to ask the question, why are you saying that you don't think Biden, do you prefer Bernie over Biden?
Yeah. I think Bernie would be the better choice. I think that Biden, I'm going to vote for whoever the Democratic nominee is, and it's clearly going to be Biden, but I'm worried about Biden on that stage next to Trump in those debates. I really am. I mean, you know, I do think, I mean, I'm not going to diagnose him like some people do. I don't do that to Trump, and I don't do that to Biden either, you know, using the D word, dementia. But I do think there's clear cognitive impairment there with Biden. And I'm genuinely worried that, you know, he's not going to – I mean, he's got a weird thing that he does during these debates with the other Democrats that if he does it with Trump, I mean, Trump's going to devour him. It's that thing where Biden will be speaking – and then he interrupts himself mid-sentence and says, oh, well, I'm out of time. And then in that last debate, you know, he was doing that and then getting mad at the moderators and then saying things like, well, I'm not going to be quiet any longer. And it's like, dude, they're not even interrupting you. You're interrupting yourself. And just, it's not good. I don't feel good about him going into that debate against those debates against Trump. I think, whereas with Bernie, look, Bernie's a year older than Biden, but I cannot think of a single moment ever that I've seen where Bernie has been speaking and I thought, uh-oh, he seems confused. That happens all the time with Biden. And I used to think too, well, you know, that's probably just Biden being Biden because he's always been gaffe prone and whatnot. And then, and he's just getting a little older. But then I see these weird things like there's this clip of him announcing himself as a candidate for the United States Senate. And it's like, oh, he didn't even catch himself. Like, yikes. I'm very concerned. I'm concerned that the choice is going to come down to either we stick with the 73-year-old who shows clear signs of cognitive impairment, or we swap him out for a 77-year-old who shows clear signs of cognitive impairment. And this, I mean, I almost can't believe it that that's where we are, but that's where we are. Yeah. So I'm very worried, Dr. Kevin. I'm very concerned.
Yeah, well, as you know, Biden was not my first choice. I wanted somebody who was half his age and twice the man, as far as I'm concerned, but that's beside the point. Not mentioning any names.
Right.
But that being said, it's where we're stuck. I mean, it's where we're stuck. And I fear that Bernie will be too divisive. And I'm just not sure. I don't know. It is tough, but I think now I wanted to get some of your thoughts on this as well. But, I think that Trump is showing more vulnerability with a possibility of getting him out than he has in his whole presidency.
Oh, yeah. I think he's panicked. I think he's panicked over the coronavirus.
Well,
he's staring down the barrel of a recession. And, he's always hanging his hat on how well the economy is doing. Did you watch, by the way, his address last night to the country from the Oval Office? I mean, is he doped up on something? People speculate about all this stuff and I kind of shrug it off, but he looks like he's sedated or medicated or there's something there. I don't know. I don't know what they do to him to get him through it, but And then he can't pronounce certain words, and he's making these weird noises with his breathing, and oh, God. It's a disaster.
So, well, it is a disaster, and I think that, you know, we with the move into the bear market, the screw up with the coronavirus, he's setting up Pence to take the fall for it.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, that's just really obvious. And Pence has got to know that he's being set up. I mean, I can't think that Pence is that thick that he doesn't
right.
realize that he is being set up for this. But I don't think that Trump is going to be able, I mean, like, you know, like you've always said, the people that are going to stick with him no matter what are going to stick with him no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll believe there was something on. Something I saw today, there was some evangelical minister. I wished I had tagged it, actually. But he was talking about that he was preaching to his people to not take. And they had like some of this on video. I couldn't stomach to watch it, I have to say. I just looked at the recap. But to not worry about taking in the coronavirus precautions, that it wasn't necessary, that this really was just all made up to try to take God's chosen one out of the White House.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm just like, okay, well, you know, the nutcases are out in full form. The question is, had some amazing numbers show up? Like the Texas thing. Did you have you been paying attention what's been going on down in Texas?
No, I have not.
They had one. We'll be right back here on the Dr. Kevin Show and on time.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hello, hello, hello. And we're talking about what's going on in Texas. Well, there's a lot of stuff going on in Texas that the voter turnout has been going over the roof. And that's going to help the Democrats, and they're looking that they might actually turn Texas blue. That would be pretty big.
Wow.
And they've been doing a lot of that. One of the things that stood out to me was in Houston, Siri Preston Kukani drew attention for his unorthodox effort to diversify his campaign. This was 2018. His volunteers and staff reached voters in 15 languages. And he hopes to double it, that to 30 languages this time. In this primary that they just did in Texas, the primary turnout in the district grew from 29,000 to over 65,000, a 110% increase.
Wow.
Yeah. They're looking that there's a very good chance of them turning over the five major cities in Texas. And again, we're not going to know until everything finishes playing out. But in six of the Democratic targeted districts, between 8 and 12% of early voters in the 2020 Democratic primary had voted in a Republican primary in either 2016 or 2018 or both years. So they're getting new people enrolled. They're getting new people signed up. And 8 to 12% of people have switched from Republican to Democrat.
Yeah. Wow, that's remarkable. Wow.
In six of the Democratic targeted districts that they're going after that they think they can change. So, anyways, I just found that that's an interesting statement. I also find it interesting that in 2012, because there's been this move going on in Texas, that Mitt Romney carried six of the seats by at least 20 points, but Trump's margin 4 years later was 10 points or less in five of them. So he carried them, but not by half the margin that Mitt Romney did.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think that he probably has done much to convert any of those people that jumped ship when it went from Mitt to Trump.
Right.
So we'll see. We'll see. But I just thought that was an interesting set of shifts, so to speak. Because Texas turning blue would definitely change the map.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And that's a lot of electoral votes there.
And Michigan had some record high turnouts, too. And And they're saying that, you know, that some of that were people that sat out the Hillary-Trump battle, which is why Hillary lost Michigan. But the voter turnouts are saying there is change in the air. On top of we're in a bear market. And the coronavirus is definitely having a negative impact in a lot of different places. But one thing that is definitely impacting in a positive way is in some of the clearest ways yet, how unsuited and incapable and buffoonish Trump is as president, because he can't even cover up his cover-ups with this virus. I mean, that's just what I got. What did you get from watching his thing last night?
From watching his address?
Yeah, besides the fun of his hot mic.
Well, like I said, I mean, I think he looks, I think he's panicked. I think he I think he's in over his head. I think he's probably pretty miserable because he assumed he was going to cruise to re-election on a strong economy, you know. He made some weird noises while he was talking, you know. But, yeah, by the way, I think it's also weird that he refuses to get tested, even though we know he's been exposed to it, because he's been exposed to people who have it. You know, like, what kind of an example does that set for people? You know, that he himself refuses to get tested. That's crazy.
Yep. Yep. Well, we now have our sixth case in New Hampshire. We went from 5 to 6 today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's, five to six. The sixth case was treated at Portsmouth Hospital.
Okay.
It was tested. They tested positive for it. I mean, it's just, and so anything else on the political scene? Were you, I mean, Warren stayed in through Super Tuesday, but bowed out. But Pete threw it all to Biden. Klobuchar threw it all to Biden. Booker's thrown up. Has Warren, I've been straight out busy, so I'm not on top of everything. Has Warren actually come behind to support anyone, or is she still staying on the fence?
She's still staying on the fence. And she's still, talking about, she lost because of sexism and misogyny, and which I don't buy. I mean, how do you feel about that? I mean, I think she had some issues as a candidate. I don't think that, maybe I don't sound woke as people like to say now, but I don't think she lost because of anything like that. I don't think Hillary lost because of anything like that, to be honest with you. I mean, how do you feel about that?
I'm going to perform the world famous Dr. Kevin trick here. Are you prepared,
yeah.
Matthew?
I'm prepared.
I am going to talk out of both sides of my mouth at the same time.
Okay.
I think I agree with you and I disagree with you.
Yeah.
I think that on one hand, the problem with Hillary, there was a lot of problems with Hillary. She carried too much baggage. The thing that amazes me, and I know this for a number of different reasons, which we won't go into, but let's just say because it has to do with the work I do, that there were a lot of women that turned against Hillary because she stayed with Bill Clinton during the affair.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were women that had husbands that cheated on them that they stayed with.
Mm-hmm.
And they crucified her for doing what they did.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of people realize how much that affected some of the support she had in the female market. They wanted, and so just an odd little factoid, but I wanted to throw that out there. But Hillary came with a lot of baggage. She came with a lot of establishment, and I just think that she was just too tied up. On the other hand, and I think with Elizabeth Warren, I think that people have got burned out on aggressiveness with Trump to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
I think Warren had some good, solid plans. I think that she's a highly intelligent woman. I still think she would make an excellent vice president, or she would be good in some kind of cabinet position, holding people accountable that are screwing over the American public. I think there's a lot of places where she could serve this country. And would love to see her in some kind of position to do so. Mm-hmm. She actually used to be a school teacher. She would definitely do a better job than Betsy there.
Well, of course.
Yeah, well, then again, I could say the same thing about a turnip. Anyways, but, you know, I would love to see her in that role. I'd love to see her in any role. But I think she brought too much anger. And I think that especially since she was preaching to the Democrats, I think that she was almost a little too Trump-like
really?
In that way. In that
yeah.
way. Her it was like, do you have a normal tone of voice? Can you talk softly?
She's very earnest.
She's very earnest. She's very intense, and she got very fired up and sometimes lost the compassion. So, or lost the fact that I'm sure that she's a very compassionate woman, but the compassionate part of her message got lost in the decibels of her voice. And her yelling and screaming, because that was my experience with her. But it's one of the reasons I also don't like Bernie. I'm like, I don't need another screaming person in the White House pointing fingers and hollering at people and calling names. I need a unifier.
Yeah.
And, you know, Pete was my first choice. No secret there.
Right.
I think it's interesting he's doing Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight. Did you see that? He's hosting.
No.
He's a guest host.
Oh, yeah. He looks like – I was going to say he looks like Jimmy Fallon. Not Jimmy Kimmel, but, yeah. Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know he was guest hosting.
Yeah, he's guest hosting tonight, which I find very interesting. He's up to something. He's up to something. We've not seen the last of him.
Yeah.
But, you know, I liked a lot about Elizabeth Warren. And, you know, but at the end of it, I got turned away by the even when they were justified, you can't just always be attacking and have no balance or softness in it. Now, on the other hand, Bernie gets away with it. Trump got away with it, and men can get away with it, and there's more tolerance than when a woman does it. When a woman does it, she's screeching. She's a bitch. She's a ball-busting bitch.
Right?
Right, you know? I do think that there is a double standard, and I think that it has to do with this patriarchal, misogynistic, scared to the point that the old white men are peeing in their pants about the idea of a woman taking power.
Hmm.
But let's look at it. What are some of the best run countries in the world right now?
Well, you know, I mean, you've got Germany.
You've got Germany. Germany's
run by a woman.
You know, is run by a woman, and it's and I think that Angela Merkel. I mean, she's got stuff like everybody's got stuff, but I have to tell you, I think that, you know, if anybody has a question about whether a woman can run a country or not, they need to look at her. I also didn't particularly. I didn't agree with her policies and stuff like that, but you didn't want to get on the wrong side of Margaret Thatcher either when she was in power.
Oh, yes. The Iron Lady. Yes.
The Iron Lady. She didn't take any prisoners.
That's true.
And, you know, I think New Zealand is run by a female now. I mean, the number is rising and there is not this, you know, there is no truth is, that they're not built for that. They're not, you know, they're not as strong as men. They're not as bright as. I love when you hear they're not as bright as men. I heard that less than a year ago in a supermarket talking to somebody probably was 2 years ago now because I lose track of time, talking to somebody when I was down when my mother was still living in Florida and visiting, and something came up, and it was about Hillary Clinton, and they're like, well, but women aren't bright enough to be the president of the United States. And this was by a woman. A woman said that to me.
Wow.
An older woman, but a woman said that. I mean, this is a insidious, toxic. So I will not say that I think it was the only reason, but I always remember, you remember my friend Dara.
Of course.
Yep. And I always remember Dara when Obama and Hillary were going after the nomination. She goes, this country is not ready for a woman. They will elect a black man before they elect a woman because the woman still scares them too much. A woman in power is still too scary to them. And she called that as early on before Obama started running things, you know, like running the table with delegates and stuff.
Yeah.
She said, this country's not going to do it. You got it. So,
yeah. Anyway,
so I cannot eliminate that I think that there is some truth in it.
Yeah. The thing is, though, you know, as far as the country not being ready to elect a woman, I mean, in 2016, let's not forget, more people did vote for Hillary Clinton than voted for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, he only won the presidency because of the Electoral College, but she did win the popular vote. Yeah. So that's one of the things that makes me skeptical about the sexism and the misogyny. It's like, well, actually, more people did choose her than chose him.
Yeah. No, and that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think it was a factor. I still think it's a factor.
Yeah.
I think there were people that if Elizabeth Warren said what she said and did what she did and she was wearing pants and, you know, chewing tobacco and scratching herself, that she would have gone further.
Yeah.
Lovely description of a man. And we'll be right back.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wound, sir?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay. 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of this week's Dr. Kevin Show here on Home Time, where I'm on with Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. You can find Matt, you can hear Matt from 4 to 6 on his Drive Time Show at WMNH or 95.3, or you can go to IPMNation.com. And click in, and you can listen to the show live, and you can call in, and you can be part of the award-winning Matt Connerton Unleashed Not a Show show. Is that what it was? Not a show? Not really a show? Not a show? What was the award?
Not Even a Show is the show that Chris James does. And Not Even a Show has awarded me Nicest Host.
There you go. Nicest Host.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sure Jenny's very proud of you.
I'm sure she is.
She should be. Anyways, and it, you know, we see this, we hear it, it's insidious, it plays a factor at some point, I think some people, but you're right, I mean, Hillary did get the vote, and we won't go into this because we never agree on the Electoral College, but it's broken, and if it needs to either be eliminated or fixed. I would be happy if they just had an electoral representative vote. So that way everybody's vote would be a whole lot closer to counting than it does and it is now. So,
oh, I agree. Yeah, that, I agree.
Yep. If 49% of the state goes Republican and 51% goes Democrat, and the Democrats get 51% of the electoral votes, and the Republicans get 49%, and then we would have a true representation. I don't know why that doesn't, you know, you've only got two states that do that. I think it's Maine and California that split the vote. I can't remember.
I'm not sure, to be honest. I don't remember either.
There's a couple of states that do that, but I think that if you did that, then you would definitely bypass this, that 4 to 5 states make the decision.
Right. Yeah, agreed.
Yep. Okay. So anything else on the political horizon that you want to talk about? Anything else that's up? Anything else that you think is interesting that people aren't paying attention to? Because you pay attention to this much closer than most people do. Anything you want to wave? Anything? It looks like Bernie is going to beat Joe in California, but they split up the delegates. You know, the split up of the delegates for the primary. Joe's still going to be enough that he's definitely sailing to. Let's just hope he remembers to show up.
They did move the next debate they're moving it to Arizona. I forget where it was supposed to be, but they're moving it because of coronavirus concerns. Oh, they're moving it from Washington D.C. to Arizona. Oh, I'm sorry, I got it wrong. They're moving it from Arizona to Washington D.C. according to what I'm looking at now. I got it backward. And there will not be an audience there, no live audience.
Yep. I heard there's no live audience. So I have to ask, what do you think? Do you think he's got corona disease? Do you think that's why he won't get tested?
Trump? Oh, probably, yeah. He probably thinks it'll look bad if it turns out he has it.
Well, I mean, he does fit the right demographic of being at risk.
Yes. But I always say, though, I mean, I'll give Trump credit for what is he, 73 years old? I'll give him credit for this. I mean, to be able to be that age and eat the diet that he does and not have had colon cancer is pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, but he doesn't use it that much because if he did, he wouldn't be so full of it. See, that's one way to think about it. But, you know, he probably... And I say this, and it's going to sound snide, and I guess there was a part of it that maybe is snide, but that's beside the point. It's my show. I can be snide if I want to.
That's right. Although you'll never win Nicest Host that way.
Yeah, I'm never going to win Nicest Host anyway. I'm not bucking for that award. It's all yours there.
Okay.
That there's a term that we talk about somebody having the constitution of a cockroach.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and that refers to somebody who has a very strong, because you can't kill cockroaches. I mean, if there was a nuclear bomb in New York City, the cockroaches would survive. Everything else would be dead, but you'd still have cockroaches. And so, you know, Trump probably has the constitution of a cockroach. God knows he has many other traits he shares with them. So why not the constitution?
Certainly, yes.
Makes sense to me.
And yet okay. He's never read the Constitution.
I think there are too many big letter words.
There are. I think you're right. Yep. He actually made a comment about it once. Did you see that? He said something about it's like it's written in a different language or something. Like, jeez, guy, you're the freaking president. Come on.
Yeah. So I'm going to move this away because there was no other political insight or epiphanies or wonderful things. So what's your take on the coronavirus? What do you think about all of this madness?
Well, you know, I've been hearing since I was a wee lad, a young urchin, that, you know, scientists have said that we're due for some sort of mass pandemic that wipes out a segment of the population, you know, some sort of plague or something. So maybe this is that. I mean, I'm not personally worried. I'm a relatively young man and in my 40s and in generally good health. So, you know, if I get it, I'm not concerned, but I worry about giving it to Jenny, you know, who has health concerns or, you know, giving it to someone else who isn't a high risk group. You know, I worry about that. I mean, I know if I get it, I'll be fine, but, you know, and I worry about the damage it's doing, not only to people's health, but, you know, economically and so forth. There's a lot of, heavy implications with this. You know, I mean, we'll get through it. It's not the end of the world. And I don't think it's going to end up killing millions of people or anything like that. But we've never seen anything quite on this scale. You know, these things come and go. And I think that there's been comfort in the way these things have come and go in the past, almost to the point where some people have, you know, felt free to be kind of flippant about this. You know, because in the past we've seen things like Ebola or SARS or avian flu, or, you know, we could go on and on. There's been so many, but this is different. This is different. And, you know, I had Brian Brody, who hosts a show online called The Brian Brody Show, on my show the other day, and he was being kind of flippant about it and saying, you know, talking about there's a data point that keeps getting repeated by a lot of conservatives who don't want to take this seriously. And they keep getting it wrong. They keep saying that, well, what's the big deal? Even at a mortality rate of 3.5%, the flu has a mortality rate of 1%. So, you know, 3.5% isn't that bad. And the thing that they keep getting wrong, and it drives me nuts, is they keep repeating this falsehood. The flu does not have a 1% mortality rate. The flu has a 0.1% mortality rate, or 0.1% mortality rate. And I'm terrible at math, and even I understand that. I mean, the flu's mortality rate is so small, if you were to round it to the nearest whole percentage point, you would be rounding it to 0%. So that's how serious a 3.5% mortality rate is. And it could be lower, and we just don't know. There could be a lot of people who've had this who didn't know that they had it because it came and went, and they barely had any symptoms. But we only know what we know, and we have to go by those numbers, what we know. And what we know is the CDC says this has a 3.5. Actually, I saw today somewhere between 3.5% and 5% is what they're projecting. So it's serious, and it's not to be taken lightly. And it's frustrating to see all these things being canceled and shut down. And, you know, but I think we have to err on the side of caution. And as long as we do that, you know, we'll get through it relatively unscathed. it's going to take a while for the stock market to rebound, but we'll be okay. But we have to be smart about it. And I worry that Trump has been kind of flippant about the whole thing, at least in the beginning. Now he seems to be taking it seriously. Now he seems to be panicked. But, you know, but we'll be okay in the end.
So I'm going to, I just want to read you something.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe this is fairly, like, within the next last day or two. I'm trying to see if I can check a date because I don't want to be reading something. It's March 3rd, so it's a little old comparatively with how fast this thing is moving.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I found is that, yes, the percentage rate for the elderly, which are fatality rate was 14.8% in people 80 or older.
Okay.
Likely reflecting the presence of other diseases, a weaker immune system, or simply worse overall health. By contrast, the fatality rate was 1.3% in 50-somethings, still much higher than the flu. 0.4% in 40-somethings, still much higher than flu. And 0.2% in people 10 to 39.
Yeah.
Higher than the flu. So it is higher than the flu in all the categories.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, and so besides the fact that they're misquoting the number, which, you know, seeing how they, you know, that a lot of these are the ones that keep on saying that they're going to, like, you know, like eliminate the debt and balance the budget and then get a $3.5 trillion more in debt, their math doesn't work very well anyways.
So
they
just right.
may be mathematical idiots. You know, if they're idiot savants, it would be one thing, but they forgot the savant part. but that that there have been deaths in all the age groups. I had somebody say that only old folks die, and I'm like, no. There's a guy in Connecticut right now who's, I think he's in his 40s that I was reading about, and he has been in a medically induced coma. He's the father of brand new twins, and he ended up getting so sick that they put him in a medically induced coma, and they have him on an artificial lung to keep him breathing, and they're hoping he's going to get better. But that's some serious stuff. And this was a guy that did not have a compromised immune system. So I don't want to panic people, but I see all this stuff on the web of misrepresenting figures of, oh, well, you know, here, you know, this one killed so many people. Yeah, over its whole life, this thing's only been around 2 months.
Right.
2.5 months that we know of. And it's got a ways to go. Of course, you know, we know it's all going to be gone away and cured by April. We know because our president told us so, right? Wasn't that what he said originally?
Oh, yeah. He's, you know, just stay calm. It'll go away. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know
yeah.
a lot of people that have survived by saying that about him. Just be calm. He'll go away.
Yeah.
Sooner rather than later. I'm watching things because, you know, and it's interesting because right now you're seeing one group of people getting hit with it that is going to have, I'm trying to figure out how to say this correctly. And it's not because I'm trying to be politically correct, because we know I don't do that crap. but we're seeing it get spread among a less vulnerable to a fatality group right now as it's going on. I mean, you had the whole disaster in Washington when it went to a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have concerns. I mean, my mother is living in a senior adult community in Kittery, and they just had a case, Kittery, Maine, and they just had a case in Portsmouth. And there are people in Portsmouth that go visit their parents in at this place in Kittery. So
yeah.
What's, you know, like, what's the likelihood? Now, she's healthy as a horse, but she's still 84 years old. She's still an 84-year-old horse that she's healthy as.
Right.
You know, and but having it spread through like the community in Rochelle, where it was a tight religious community, or having it spread in Biogen in California, where it was a bunch of 20, 30 somethings for the most part, more tendency to probably eat better, take care of their life more. What happens when this hits the NASCAR group?
Right. Yeah. Point taken. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. There's going to be some interesting times when it hits people that have a lot less care that they take. We're going to see the deaths of younger people go up. Younger, 40, 50-something younger, 30-something, but... still. Matt, as always, thank you for coming on, and I will be talking to you in just 2 or 3 more weeks as you're on.
That sounds great.